That was my experience, my first experience with alcohol. Cool. Well, with Gray Man Media, I'm Austin.
I'm Eric.
And we are
the Baldcasters. Hello, everybody.
It's good to be back.
It's good to be back.
Always good to be back. All right, Eric. Well, we are on episode 3.
Yep.
We will make sure that we go through every episode. This is not going to be like Thoughts on the Mothership where they're not keeping count of their episodes. Also, I want to apologize in advance.
Yeah.
Devin got upset with us about how long episode 2 was. So he has cut our content.
Oh, yeah.
So
if we cut out in the middle.
Yeah, if we cut out in the middle, then that's probably why. This was definitely put in post. All right, well, Eric, we got some stuff to talk about today.
Are we gonna work together on the first one?
On the first one?
No.
You mean the second one?
The second one.
All right. Well, let's go through the itinerary first.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it.
All right. So, we're gonna talk about sports, comics, as we usually do. Section 3, we're actually gonna change it up a little bit today. Typically, we've had the discussion format, but just with a random topic of the day.
Yeah.
Whatever stuff that we're talking about. Today, for episode 3, we recently finished recording the season finale of Thoughts on the Mothership.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very fun time. It was a nice 6-hour recording session. Fantastic. Everyone was having a great time.
I was so high.
And we're going to talk about that in section 3. All that. So this will drop a little bit after the season finale, if I am remembering correctly. Also, the season finale is not out yet. Well, I guess here we go.
Yep.
But yeah, so we'll talk about that. So today in sports, we've got 3 topics on the list.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to talk about our favorite dynasties. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a list of the top 5 players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna talk about plus minuses, because Eric just doesn't get it.
No.
All right. So, Eric, I have to ask.
Yes.
What team, what era is your favorite dynasty?
Well, that depends on the definition of dynasty.
Okay.
So if dynasty is like multiple championships in a row, then I like the Bulls.
Oh, it's so cliche.
No, the Bulls is a fun team to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, there's something to say about just like watching excellence.
Yeah.
Night in and night out. Let's define it as multiple years of dominance. So, like, not necessarily winning a ring every year, but, like, multiple years in a row, at least 3 years in a row of just dominance.
Death, taxes, and the Spurs, my friend.
Why?
Because the consistency and the ability to change are 2 important factors in basketball. And the Spurs are evident of that. Even though they're in a rough spot right now, by the time of this recording, they have done their due diligence when it comes to scouting and like winning with probably my opinion the greatest coach in the NBA.
Would you say ever or just
ever
currently?
Ever.
Think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a discussion for another episode.
Austin will remember that.
Well, mine, as you know. Mm-hmm. Golden State Warriors, currently. I'm not a Golden State Warriors fan. I should add this.
Yes.
I don't... From a competitive standpoint, I'm not a fan of the Warriors. But I also recognize greatness, and I also recognize how amazing the dynasty of Golden State over the last, 5 to 6 years of dominance has been. First of all, in my opinion, they did it... In my opinion, as we've discussed on previous episodes, I think they built their team correctly. And I understand the harp on the addition of Kevin Durant after they had their 73rd season.
No, that was brilliant.
Well, but what I'm referring to is, I mean, their original big three, they drafted every single one of them.
Yeah.
And they drafted them and developed them as players.
Mm-hmm.
Within, like, and that was Mark Jackson that was there.
You know how I feel about that, man.
We could talk about that later, but what you can't deny the fact that he did help set the tone and the development of the players to make Golden State what it is today.
That Eric will remember that.
All right.
No, but he yeah, of course he's had his, like, did what a coach does, you know. But, like, there's, at what point in time do you, like, yeah, that was the coach that did this, and that's what the player that did this?
Well, but, and, in my opinion, I don't think that without Mark Jackson being as flexible with Steph Curry early in his career, with the surgeries and, like, not giving up on Steph early, is one of the, like, because, I mean, a lot of coaches would have. A lot of coaches, like, I mean, Steph had a lot of issues with his legs early in his career in, like, the first 2-3 years where, like, a lot of coaches would have been like, all right, we need to look for, we need to get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw Philadelphia did it with Fultz. Several teams have this win-now mentality, but Mark Jackson had this whole, let's develop our players, let's get this, and let's build around so that we don't have to put as much strain on individual players. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other reason why I'm a really big fan of Golden State from, like, from a basketball fan standpoint is just their game. I mean, they're one of the most selfless teams in the NBA. They're routinely, like, top 6 or 7 in assists as far as team-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they pass the ball really well. And they're a lot of fun to watch. I mean, obviously you have the Splash Brothers who are just, you know, dropping it from anywhere inside of the half-court line. But also, I mean, like, in, you know, 2-3 years ago, Draymond Green was a dominant force on the defensive end.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was amazing to watch. Even when he was, like, playing center routinely in the rotation, like, dominant against, you know, playing defense against other centers, which is, like, he's undersized 4, which, I mean, he's got leaping ability, but, like, not, like,
he's what you use to hide your Steph Curry on defenses and stuff like that.
And I mean, it used to be, you know, smaller fours, you know, and this is one of the things that I didn't agree with Mark Jackson is, you know, he would play Draymond at the 3 a lot because he is an undersized 4. But
wrong.
Yeah, that is wrong. But I also feel like Draymond has helped the transition that we see in the league of going back to episode 1 about the transition to small ball and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, Draymond's not a great 3-point shooter. But he's also, like, the best terrible 3-point shooter in the league, in my opinion.
He's trying. He's trying his damnedest.
Like, for some reason, he can't make wide open threes, but, like, if a game is on the line and he's covered 90%, like, he's gonna make that shot. It's fucking weird.
Also, to going back to the coaches, not to, like, I ignored everything. It was just, I was holding on to this.
Yeah.
So my point is, like, sometimes you need for them to take that huge leap, like Steph Curry did, you need a new coach. Because it was like a couple of, so that's why I like to think Pascal took that leap, because we had Dwayne Casey. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Casey had plenty of opportunities, but he didn't have Kawhi, of course, but, you know, he would have been stubborn with his lineups and probably wouldn't have given the same flexibility as Nick Nurse's.
I think I don't know if that's as much Casey leaving as giving Pascal more opportunity. Because, I mean, when you have DeRozan and Kyle Lowry and you're paying them both as much as the team was at that point,
mm-hmm.
it's hard not to make them the forefront of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you have to pay them for something. And it's the same thing that we saw when Boston brought in Kyrie and, like, they just were like, let's just shoehorn him in here because we're paying him a shit ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, when you're paying two players, like, close to max contract or max contract, I don't remember if both of them were on max contracts at the time. But, I mean, they were obviously the two highest paid players on the team. They were the faces of the franchise. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a mixture of both Nick Nurse stepping in and Pascal getting that bigger role with DeRozan leaving and then Kyle taking more of a back seat and being more of just a facilitator.
Dwayne, because if you really look at the way Dwayne Casey ran his offense, it was more isolation heavy and more.
Well, because that was a lot of DeRozan's game. So, I mean, like, again, I mean, if those are your stars, you have to play through your stars. I mean, that's what the NBA is at this point. You play through your stars, and I mean, if that's your stars' game, I mean, I think there are certain times where, because, I mean, also, I agree with you in the correlation with Golden State.
Yeah.
I don't think Mark Jackson was the coach that was going to take them over the edge,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I liked where he was for the development standpoint. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, especially early in Steph, Clay, and Draymond's careers, not as much Draymond's, but Steph and Clay's careers, I think he was pivotal to a lot of their development very early on.
Let's see. It wasn't that long into their, like, it wasn't that long into Steph and Clay's career where they just decided to, like, you know, go the fuck off.
Yeah, it was because like, Steph, it was like 2-3 years, and Clay, it was like 3 or 4.
Because it was that Madison Square Garden game.
Yeah.
With the 54 points, he didn't make the All-Star game that year, 2013, that he really, like, took off the next step. And then 2014-2015 season was when it all started to fall together because they signed their pieces and stuff like that. But Dwayne Casey won Coach of the Year because the Raptors had what was the best record?
Yeah.
And they
In the East. I don't know if he was the best record overall, but the best record in the East. It might have been second to Golden State.
What was that, 2016-17?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was either one or two.
One or two.
Yeah, and I mean, and there is a fine line on, like, how much is the players and how much is the coaches. But, I mean, Mark Jackson also did draft that team. So, I mean, you know, and, I mean, the general manager does play a lot in that and actually drafts them. But, I mean, the coach does have a lot of say in what happens with that. And who, like, who gets put on the draft board and all that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, it is still his team.
The coach has as much say as the general manager wants to. As the head of basketball operation has.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. And, you know, it's not quite like football in the NFL where your coach basically just drafts your team every year. But, I mean, they do still hold a lot of weight in that. And who they want to build, like, not necessarily who they want to build around because, I mean, the general manager and the owner brings in whatever star they want. But, I mean, as far as, like, how they're going to build around that, they typically do have a lot of say.
I honestly think you should draft based on talent, not fit sometimes.
Well, it depends. Like, if there's a player that's slightly better talent, but, I mean, like, in the case of Golden State, like, they're not going to draft, like, if the best player in the league is a point guard, they're not going to draft a point guard in the draft. Like, but, like, if the second or third best player is a big, then, I mean, they would draft that big. While you have a small drop-off of talent, like, the fit is significantly better.
Like, so let's take, for example, if Derrick Rose was in this draft, Golden State would have drafted Derrick Rose. They would not have been like, oh, we should go with Kevin Love. The talent, like that type of mm-hmm. what's it called? Disparity?
Well, but then I think it has to be, it's got to be based on a lot of different things. I mean, it has to be a mix of fit, talent, and needs.
You don't have to keep them.
Well, obviously, but I mean, if you have a need at a position and the drop-off isn't that much, I mean, you're obviously going to go with your need before you go with just like, I'm going to get this for a trade asset.
I was just thinking in order of like, if the talent is not like standing outish, then you go for your need. But if you're, so obviously some teams have been like, yeah, let's draft the fit instead of like blah, blah, blah. That's what Portland did. And when they drafted Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan, because
mm-hmm.
they already had Clyde Drexler. So that's, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
So yeah, but also like, again, like if you have needs, and it has to be based on a lot of, you have to have a balance of different things. Like, and also not every draft class has like a transcendent talent.
Yeah.
So like, you know, obviously if you have that transcendent talent, you're going to take that. Cause I mean, odds are you didn't just draft that position last year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if they are significantly better than what you have anyway, I mean, you'd probably consider that a need. But, I mean, if you, like, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
the Celtics did it way back in the 80s
mm-hmm.
when they had that number one pick and they just won a championship. They drafted Len Bias, who was a small forward.
Yeah.
And they already had Larry Bird. They were like, fuck that, we're getting,
Yeah. And the also, odds are if you're getting that, like, number one, number two, number three pick, you probably have needs at most positions. I mean, not every team is Golden State where, like, the only reason they got the first pick was because they had injuries all year. I mean, most of the time it's, like, Knicks, Pelicans, you know, those not great teams that, like, basically just need whoever they can get and they need someone to build around. So, I mean, yeah, in the case of that, yes, you would typically go for talent because you have needs at every position.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it again, it just has to be about that balance. But yeah, we can go on for hours about this and all that. But let's
the art of the draft.
Let's make our first top five list.
Okay,
how's that sound?
All right.
Well, number one, we're just gonna go over and skip over because LeBron.
Yeah.
Number two, it's probably gonna be a conversation.
All right.
So for me, we haven't seen much of him yet, but I'm gonna venture and I'm gonna put a caveat on this. If he comes back, like 90%. Of what he was before, I'm gonna go with Kevin Durant. Especially, I think playing along Kyrie and being out of the shadow of Oakland is gonna be really good for him. I think he's gonna come out of his shell a little bit more, which I'm not sure how good that's gonna be for New York. Mm-hmm. But I do think game wise, because he is a very good jump shooter as well. Mm-hmm. I think game wise, it's still gonna transition past the Achilles injury. Because, I mean, he's not that...
It was his off leg, too.
Yeah, and it's off leg. And, like, he's not that player that's, like, driving to the basket every possession. So, like, I think it's going to transition pretty well afterwards, and I think he's going to be fine. So I'm going to put him as my number two with the caveat that he comes back even at 90% of what he was before he got injured.
For me, number two, it depends if he's able to take that next step. It's going to have to be Luka for me. Luka Doncic.
I would take that. I would probably put Luka at like 4 or 5, but we can get to that later. I would.
I don't like ifs.
But if he takes that next step, I would agree with
like
that.
If he played exactly how he played last year, then like when it comes to injuries.
Yeah.
So, like Luka, if he plays exactly like how he played last year, mm-hmm. then he's obviously number two, for me.
I think there's an argument to be made there, but this is we've split off a little bit, and you know we're just making our own list.
Yeah.
So number three, who's your number three?
My number three, Giannis.
Giannis?
Yeah.
I'd probably put Steph because now he's going to be the number one option again, mm-hmm. instead of Durant being there, mm-hmm. and again that jump. I mean, he's a jump shooter, so he's going to come back from an injury well. And also, he had like a hand injury,
yeah,
wasn't it? Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, it's not like
he could have played, but he was like, I'm going to sit out.
Yeah, he's sitting out. He's coming off of rest and everything like that.
Yeah.
I think he's going to come back. I personally think Steph's going to have an MVP caliber year. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to win MVP, but I think he's going to have an MVP caliber year. But yeah, I would probably put Steph in number three.
Steph Curry was never the bad guy in any situation.
Oh, never, no.
He's just like, oh, you're coming in, cool. I can just win.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like, I'll take a back seat. You know, you can get your accolades, get your resume up, Durant. You know, I'll take a back seat for a little bit. It was, but also like even when he was doing that, it was always Steph's team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it was never Durant's team. We're not going back to that conversation, Eric.
Don't do it.
Okay. Well, but it was never Durant's team, right? And, like, Steph was always the leader on that team, and he was always, like, while he may not have been the best player on that team, he was always the leader, and, like, the ball still ran through him.
Well, technically, if we want to talk about leader, if you're talking about, like, locker room leader, it was Iguodala.
Well,
the glue. Leader as in, like, on the court, this is what's going to happen. I think it was really running through, like, Draymond, because he was the focal point, and it was like, all right.
I would agree on defense, but not necessarily on offense.
How many assists did he average? Like, seven assists?
Well, yeah, I mean, he is one of the better passing big men in the league, but I mean, you know, with... Steph has always been the face of that team, and he's always been, like, he's that guy that's, like, if shit's going wrong, and this has been like reported and everything, like when Draymond and KD were having issues, like he would like talk to them, bring them back, like cook for them, and like just have those moments with them that you need, and that I would argue that made him the locker room leader as well. Mm-hmm. Iggy was one as well, but I think that locker room wise, it is probably Steph and then Iguodala.
Also. Question. Was it D-Wade's team when Shaq got traded to Miami?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mostly because, like, And I feel like this is with a lot of teams, like, with those, like, quote-unquote rental-type players. Because, like, Kawhi came to Toronto, but it was still, like, Kyle's team, right? Like, Kyle was the one that helped build the foundation and all that kind of stuff. And, like, Kyle was still, like, the face. And, like, if Kawhi would have stayed, he would have become the face and it would have become his team. But, like, when you have those really short terms and, like, even to the extent that, like, Durant was there 4 years? 3 years? 3 years. And, yeah, because they went to three finals.
He signed a four-year, some million-dollar deal.
With a player option, yeah. The fourth one, yeah. And then they signed and traded him to Brooklyn.
For D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah. So, I don't know if Durant would have gotten there, just, like, personality-wise. Because, like, Steph was, like, beloved by fans. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there is an argument to be made about whose team it was and all that kind of stuff. I would argue it was Steph's. I would argue Miami, when Shaq came there, I would argue that was still D-Wade's team. I would argue he was still the face of the franchise and still, like, fan-wise, especially, I would argue it was his team.
For fans, it's for the fans. I believe you on that point. Like, yeah, because, like, when it's just hard to, like, it's just hard to explain. Because mm-hmm. they don't think, like, those stars, it didn't matter. Like, to Steph Curry, it's not his team.
Yeah.
It was probably like, all right, this is Durant's now. He's going to run the ship real quick. He was probably thinking like that. Because if you think it's my team, that's how you get a Kobe.
Yeah.
That's how you get Kobe. Because when Dwight Howard, he should have been like, all right, Dwight, this is your team. You're younger. You're going to be here longer than me probably. So you should, this is your team. But Kobe took us like, all right, you're my backup.
Yeah.
And so that's how that situation, rest in peace, Kobe.
Who's your number four?
Hmm?
Who's your four?
Four, Jokic.
Jokic?
Mm-hmm.
I hate you. I'd probably put Giannis here at four. I don't think he's taken, like, accolades-wise, yes. But I don't understand where people get this whole Giannis has absolutely no help on his team thing. Because, like, Chris Middleton's a good player. Like, before he came to Milwaukee, perennial All-Star?
No.
I don't know about that.
Listen. I'm going to tell you, this is me being 100% real with you.
He's had multiple 50-40-90 seasons.
He was not an All-Star before he got to
But he was always in that conversation, is what I'm saying.
In Milwaukee, that's where he blossomed. And he was in Detroit before. You can look it up. I want you to fact check me on this one. When he was in Detroit, he was off the bench, and he was a second-round pick. And then he got traded to Milwaukee, and then he started developing his game slowly. And then when they traded away Michael Carter Williams, they started to actually play through Giannis and have him at the shooting guard.
Regardless, Chris Middleton is still a sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm.
Still a really good,
he's a good player.
Even small forward at where he's playing right now, mm-hmm. still a really good player. I don't understand where, and like, I understand that Eric Bledsoe was not the player that he used to be when he was, like, in the last, you know, couple of years.
He's exactly what he's always been. A bench player.
Well, but like, he's good on defense. He puts up shots. He's not going to make every shot, and he's never been that player. But like, and he's lost a couple steps on defense, but like, he was the type of point guard they needed. They didn't need a scoring type of point guard. They didn't need a number one option point guard. They needed a point guard who could facilitate and a point guard who could play defense, play perimeter defense.
They needed and a then, Kyle Lowry.
I would agree with that. And then, like, Brook Lopez is a good stretch five. So, I mean, like, that plays defense. And, like, I don't understand where this whole, like, Giannis has absolutely no help narrative came from.
It's when it comes to the playoffs. But that's the funny part, because Chris Middleton was actually hooping.
Yeah. So, like, I don't understand. Like, I think that Giannis has to make, and I don't want to blame Giannis for this, because, like, he's still young, and he has a lot of time to progress. And, like,
he's 26.
LeBron is 90. And he's still playing basketball. So, I mean, like,
LeBron ages differently, okay?
Yeah, she's back. My man's got Benjamin Button disease.
He actually gained weight when he... It was fucking... Ugh.
But...
Muscle.
I need to see Giannis take that next step, like, success-wise in the postseason before I put him up in, like, the top three.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now's the hard one, because there's like a lot of different players I could go with. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different people that like I was thinking about putting in this list. Five for me, I'll put it with the same caveat that you did. If he plays the exact same way that he did last year, probably Luka. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't, it's... If he doesn't, it's probably Anthony Davis. Just, and this is again with the same caveat of if he played exactly how he did last year, mm-hmm. but like it would probably be one of those two. Again, with the caveat that if they played exactly the same way.
For me, it's Kawhi. Kawhi at the five. Steph Curry's directly after him.
Let the record show. You said Kawhi at the five?
Yeah, Kawhi at five.
Oh, I thought you meant playing center, and I was like, mm-mm. I was like, shut up. I thought you were just trying to make an argument.
No.
Let the record show that at the time of this recording, Kawhi's played one preseason game, and he scored 3 points.
Yeah.
Funny shit I ever heard.
Yeah, it's great. I enjoyed it.
I thought about putting Kawhi. He's another one of those, like if he's not there. If Anthony Davis or Luka take a step back from where they were last year, mine's probably Kawhi. But, like, I don't know. I feel like I have the same... I feel like I'm having prisoner of the moment with last year.
Yeah.
Because he didn't play very well in the postseason last year.
Mm-hmm.
And like if he plays exactly how he did in the postseason last year, like he's not a top five player. So, you know, whether it's prisoner of the moment or just like maybe I'm just being too anxious about him updating his resume every single year.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and I know there's a lot of discussion about whether Paul George is an elite level player in the postseason, all that kind of stuff. But as far as what I've seen from Kawhi on the Clippers, I still need to see more from that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. And
I'm not one for making excuses, but Paul George did recently come off, like it's only been a year since his shoulder injury, and it was a shooting shoulder.
Yeah.
He also had a mediocre coach in Doc Rivers.
Yeah. But also, I mean, I'm not entirely sold on Ty Lue, so I'm not sure that was the right pickup for that coaching need.
No, they could have done better. Like, I'm not, like, Mike Budenholzer for me is not that next level. He's offensive genius.
Yeah.
Like, what he did with, like, the Hawks should not have happened. They should have been, like, a 46-win team at most, and he got them to 60 for playing modern basketball. But, like, he's not a winner.
Ty Lue's kind of that same way with me. Is like, I get that it worked with LeBron, but LeBron is also an on the court coach. Yeah. So like, he's constantly coaching players on the court.
Are you gonna tell LeBron no?
And exactly. And I feel like,
are you gonna tell Michael Jordan no?
Exactly. And like, he was, well, I mean, shit, he might have. Fuck. But I feel like Ty Lue was brought in specifically to deal with LeBron's ego and like deal with the egos that were in the locker room, because he is good with players.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you do need that, especially if you have just like an on the court coach like you have with LeBron, or like he'd probably be a good fit with like Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Because like Chris Paul's the same kind of way, where he's like constantly coaching players on the court and all that kind of stuff. He's one of the older players, you know. But he's not going to be good with every player, and the Clippers don't have that kind of player who's like constantly being like, hey, you know, this is what we need to do, like, let's move over here, all that. For those of you who cannot see me, I am just waving my arms around like a buffoon.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that's, I need to see Kawhi take, like, because I mean, when he was on Toronto and when he was on the Spurs, he had very good teams around him, and he still has a good team around him in LA.
The Clippers weren't built that well. Everybody's like, yeah, they're picking up all these good players, but then Reggie.
But they were also hyping the shit out of themselves.
Yeah.
So like, don't hype the shit out of yourself.
Yeah.
And then fall completely flat.
Can we get shit on some of the pickups they did?
We'll do that on another episode.
Oh man. Oh my God, they got Reggie Jackson. Got waived. You got waived for a reason, buddy.
But now, mm-hmm. we finish our top five.
Yeah.
What do you not understand about plus minuses?
It doesn't really... I know it's like these specific players play together really well. I know that part. I know that's what that means. A portion of it. But like, it doesn't really tell a good, like... It's not a solid stat to lean on.
Well, okay, it's not a solid stat if you just look at true plus minus.
Yeah.
So like, if you look at... If you're just looking at a stat block and you're looking at a player's like season stats, right? So the example that I gave you was Trae Young and John Collins. And this is kind of where this conversation started. And you can't look at just true plus minus. Because like if you're on a bad team, obviously your plus minus is gonna be low.
Yeah.
Because you like your overall plus minus. I like to look at them in conjunction with other players and, like, your plus minus. Like, I like to look at microcosms of plus minus. Mm-hmm. So, what I looked at was Trae Young and John Collins. And when you look at their stats, because we talked about last week our favorite players, and you gave me a lot of shit for putting John Collins at the four. I like watching John Collins play. I think he's a good player. He's not a great player, and I recognize that, but he's a good player. He's a good... like foundation player. Like he's a good role player for your team.
Yeah.
Like a 22 a night guy. I mean, that's, you know, you can't ask much more from most people in the league. Mm-hmm. So Trae Young, if you look at just his true plus minus, I think he's like a minus five for his career. But I mean, he plays for the Hawks. Yeah. So I mean, the Hawks are getting better progressively mm-hmm. with every year. If you look at his plus minus without John Collins on the court, it's minus seven. When both of them are on the court, his plus-minus is like a minus one. So the difference, when John Collins is on the court with Trae Young, is a plus six. Mm-hmm. You following me so far? All right.
He plays better when he's on the court.
He plays better when John Collins is on the court. And, like, you can put it whether, you know, Trae Young is just, like, balling out or, and like, the role players or, like, the backups are just bad. But, like... You have to look at that with a little bit of John Collins makes Trae Young better. Go ahead.
Point of just quick question.
Did you forget your?
I forgot my Robert's rules.
Oh, okay, cool. Go ahead.
But like that would naturally, if you play with like good players, wouldn't that make you better?
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like that's why you look at the plus minuses. But like you can also look at like other players plus minus. Like, Like, let's take Boston for an example. When Jason Tatum...
Different one. Pick a different team.
But I'm using this for a reason.
Okay.
So, look at Boston 2 years ago, when Jason Tatum and Kyrie Irving were both on the court. And Jason Tatum's plus-minus was significantly lower when Kyrie was on the court than when he was not. So, I mean, certain players... And, I mean, you can... Go ahead.
Well, that's because they're both scorers.
Well, yeah.
And they need the ball in their hands.
Yeah, but so, I mean, this also goes back to fit that we're talking about earlier.
Yeah, so, like, I'm not trying to, like, interrupt you constantly.
No, you're
like,
fine.
I'm seeing these things as, like, you could tell because, like, okay, so when you have a scoring point guard
mm-hmm.
that puts the ball up a lot, you would like to have a rebounding big. And therefore, John Collins is a solid fit. He doesn't need the ball that often. Yep. And when he does get the ball, he can shoot it and dunk it back in, which is why he averages, like, 10 rebounds a game, mm-hmm. which is why he plays Trae Young plays better because he has that option to, like, you know, give it to him because he knows he can be a consistent finisher. Kyrie and Jason Tatum from, like, this is all from, like, me looking at it.
Yeah.
And not, like, I'm not even thinking about stats.
But plus minus is the closest thing that we have to the eye test.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the closest stat that we have to the eye test. So, like, someone can be balling out and, like, or, like, Steph Curry. I'm going to use Steph Curry as an example.
Okay.
So for points.
Okay.
Right? Steph Curry can score 40 points any night within the complete flow of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And, or like Klay Thompson's the same way. Where like he'll take like six dribbles in an entire game. So like it's not like the eye test wise, you're like because you'll also have stretches where Steph's like just kind of running around the court and doing absolutely nothing. And like everything. But he'll still score 40 points. Because like eye test wise, we're looking at it, we're like, he's not really doing much. But, like, then you look at points, you're like, he scored 40 points. What the fuck just happened? But then if you look at his plus minus, it's like plus 14 when he's on the court. And you're like, oh, you then you start looking at, like, there's a microcosm of, like, where he goes, like, the because, like, he sets screens on the court and all that kind of stuff. And, like he'll set screens, and, like, you'll look at that, and it's the closest thing that we have to how, like, the intangibles that happen in the game. Because, like, you don't get a stat for screens. You don't get a stat for, you know, making an outlet pass that turns into assist. You don't get those kind of stats. So it's the closest thing that we had to getting those on paper.
Okay, so basically what you said, it's kind of making more sense for me. The plus minus is basically a stat for the eye test.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it. I know there's probably a much better way to describe it, but that's how I'm going to describe it to make it make sense to you.
The reason why I know, like, Steph Curry is able to, like it makes sense for me that I don't question it, because Steph Curry doesn't, he can handle, he doesn't need the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need the ball because the offense is just, like, they can just pass, and then he's just, like, all he has to do is, like, stand still. It doesn't matter who's on him.
Yeah.
And the reason why Steph Curry and Klay Thompson don't interfere with each other is that they're what the other needs. Because if it was just Klay Thompson, I don't know. But if it was just
Klay Thompson, double teamed.
Yeah, he would get double teamed. And so he could just pass it to Steph, and Steph can just shoot it up from anywhere. And Klay, there's that one game where he only had 11 dribbles and, like, 60 points.
It's ridiculous.
So they don't really clash with each other.
Well, and the other reason, and you see this a lot with shooters, just, like, having two shooters. Because, like, most teams don't have two elite perimeter defenders.
Yeah.
They have, you typically have one elite perimeter defender, and then one that's, like, one guard that's, like, your scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Or your, like, your secondary scorer or whatever. And so most teams don't have that, like, dual threat, like, we can cover both of your elite, you know, either wings or, you know, guard tandem. So, you know, that's in my opinion, that's why Klay and Steph work so well, because neither of them have to have the ball in their hands. They're very selfless stars, and you can't guard both of them.
I feel like Klay got robbed of defensive team. Has he ever made an all-defensive team? Because he should have.
Maybe.
He's gotten robbed of a couple of those, because he is probably one of the top five defenders in the league, honestly. Because playing in the West and having Steph Curry as your backcourt mate. Oh, also, I wanted to say this about Trae Young. Trae Young is Steph Curry if Steph Curry didn't have a good amount of defense.
He did win. He did win a defensive player. Not a defensive player, but all defensive team.
What year? What team? First or second?
Uh, 2018-2019.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah. I cannot find whether he got first team or second team.
If there's one thing you can rely on 2K for.
Probably second team, though, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Because there are still a few guards that are better defenders than him. And that put up gaudier stats. Because, I mean, if you put up, you know...
If you want to picture my face, just look at the meme of the lady doing all the math in her head, like... I mean, Ben Simmons is probably one of my favorite defenders.
Yeah.
But as we shall continue. Yeah.
Well, you want to talk about some comics?
Yeah.
We're going to have a shortened comics section today, because we had a pretty long sports section. We're going to talk about one topic. Mm-hmm. It's going to get its own moment in Baldcaster's history. We're going to talk about our favorite female heroes.
It's between Rogue and Storm.
Those are both good ones.
X-Men, which is weird, because it's not that I hate X-Men comics, it's just like, they ruin some characters sometimes. Like, there hasn't been a really good solid writer. Because what they did with Cyclops was like, yeah, I'm a boy. He was supposed to be like the Captain America of them. And then it was like, but what if he was Hitler? And they did that with him. It was like, yeah, mutants only, goddamn mutants. Protect our mutants, kill everybody else. And I was like, oh.
How did you start this by saying that your favorite female hero is probably either one of these two X-Men and then go into...
Scott Summers, Nazi.
And then, well, and then go into... It's not that I hate X-Men. What?
I said unfortunately. I really like Rogue because, you know, power stealing is a good power.
Yeah.
And Storm is just like, she's able to control Storm's period, case in point. Not just Earth-based stuff, but like, she's able to control the Storm and like other planets.
Yeah, like Gamma Storms and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
it was really neat. But,
it's kind of crazy, actually.
It's broken.
Yeah.
If I can just remember their name. I can't remember any hero from DC that isn't just like a... that isn't Wonder Woman. They're... I'm not gonna lie.
LOL. Well, my favorite... Mm-hmm. Probably She-Hulk.
She-Hulk?
Yeah. Like, super strength, you know... Same, a lot of the same powers as Hulk, you know, super strength, you know, oversized, all that kind of stuff. You know, fights Hulk on a couple of occasions, does win a couple times, like, fucks Hulk shit up, but also, like, keeps her brains. Like, same personality, all that kind of stuff. So she's just as smart as she would have been, like, because she's a lawyer, mm-hmm. so she's a very intelligent person. And she's, like, defended some of the heroes within Marvel Universe. And all that. So, I mean, very intelligent person. Very, you know, while it's not the most creative power set, I mean, it's a very, very good power set. And, I mean, you know, something about the stories of She-Hulk just really do something for me.
Also, she broke the fourth wall before. It was cool.
Yeah.
She was the original, like, yeah, I break the fourth wall all the time. And then Deadpool came along and was like, I'm going to teabag this to death. I'm gonna whip that fourth wall, lover, to death. That's my favorite line from Django. Oh my god.
It's a good one. Oh wait, I can't say that.
And the way he said it, ugh, it was so smooth.
Well, those have been our favorite female superheroes. So Eric, what'd you do on the Mega episode, dog?
Smoked a lot.
We didn't even smoke that much.
Well, I got very high. Very.
You also got inebriated.
I had like six shots actually.
Yeah, but you're a skinny boy.
Yeah, so I was yeah. And so as soon as
you were what now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I was done. I was done. Because there were points where I was just fucking quiet.
Yeah. So you, I don't know if you remember this, but there was one point because we sat right next to each other. Mm-hmm. I hope you remember that, because we sat next to each other.
I was rocking.
Yeah, you were like, you would like rock around, and like you'd close your eyes, like put your head over the air, and like, you had the headphones on, mm-hmm. but like, they were the headphones for the podcast, so you could like hear our audio.
Yeah.
But like, you were vibing like you were listening to like, like Childish Gambino or something. You were just like swinging around, and like, you looked like you were listening to like, the most mellow soundtrack, and in reality, you were just listening to the podcast as we were saying it.
Well, okay, I could tell you what was going on.
Okay.
When I was rocking, I was ignoring everything you guys were saying, and I was just thinking
about... No, we figured, yeah.
I was thinking about the newest Kid Cudi album, and I was just like, tell my mom I'm sorry, this fight, this war in me, can't fight this war... And I was like, That's why I kept saying it.
Oh my goodness. You're a hot mess, dog.
Hey, I was vibe. I was a solid vibe on that night.
Well, I got to be our designated driver for the evening. So I didn't get to get intoxicated. For those of you all who have heard my thoughts on the Mothership episode, I passed out during the episode because I got so drunk.
Vomit was still there.
I threw up in their lawn and the vomit is still on their lawn. Devin Gray, please hose off your lawn. It's fucking disgusting. God, everyone send Devin hate emails and hate.
Show us pics.
Send hate messages to us on Facebook so that Devin Gray will hose his lawn off.
I think that's my favorite moment I've been intoxicated at, because I was like, that was a solid point where I was just like, yeah, I'm very happy right now. I'm like, I'm just so relaxed. I was so relaxed. I was just like, I wasn't dizzy. I was just rocking and just having a good time.
It was very good. I had a good time. It was long. It was really long. We got there at like a little, like, probably like 12:10, 12:15, and we left at like 7 o'clock. Ooh. And, like, we had like a, we had like an hour of that were breaks, but like we had like, it was 4 hours of recording because we got 4 hour-long sessions. I think a couple of them ended up being over 4 hours, but over an hour. But it was four, you know, hour-long sessions. And it was, what, I was really glad that we did our thing on the second episode. Mm-hmm. Because we ended up smoking a blunt before the second session. And I was pretty high. Like, I don't often, like, refuse the blunt. But, like, we got to the end of that shit, and I was like, all right, I need to chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because I got a fucking show to do. And I also was not allowed to get drunk, so I was like, all right. And I also don't have, like, a tone setter or anything like that. So I was like, all right, I gotta get just a little hot. Just a little hot. And then, you know, and then I'll be able to do my shit. So I was really glad that we did on the second one, because I was exhausted for the fourth one.
I'm glad we did it on the second one, because after that, I was like, as soon as I get done with the ball casters, I get to totally wipe myself.
Yeah, you were vibing, dog.
And when I got back, did I tell you, did you know what I was doing when we got back?
No.
I stayed up, and I was just listening to the Kid Cudi album, and then it turned into like, I was like, it was like 12 a.m. and I got up. I was like, I'm going to do the fucking dishes. So I started doing the dishes. And then I was like, I'm going to write an article about my favorite artists currently. And I started typing it. I still have it. It was like really good. I quoted it. I double spaced.
I'm proud of you, Doug. I'm proud of you.
Apparently, when Eric is happy and crossfaded, he's just super fucking organized.
Good job, bud. Proud of you. You should like schedule shows like while you're high and inebriated.
High and inebriated? Bro,
yeah, you'd be so organized.
I know. I should, you know, I'm down with that. That's a good
Speaking
idea.
Speaking of your show, would you like to?
Well, Everyday People. You can find it on Everyday People on Spotify. anywhere podcasts can be found, really. Thanks to Anchor.
Are you on Apple Music?
You don't have there's Apple Podcasts.
Are you on Apple Podcasts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I gotta go watch you on every platform so you get more views.
Yeah, bro. Do not skip the ad because it's funny as shit.
His ads are funny. They do a good job.
I'm going to record another one. It's going to be more people involved.
Good. So, before we close this out, I have to tell you what happened at work today.
Oh.
It's very short. Mm-hmm. So, this guy walked in to work. For those of you who do not know, I work at McDonald's. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way.
Yeah.
So, please like and subscribe so that we can monetize this so that I don't have to work at McDonald's. We'll put out so much more content, I promise.
Yeah.
And so, I work at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And this guy walked in at like 3:15 with his laptop. Just with his laptop, right? And he went straight to the bathroom with his laptop in hand. And I don't know what he did in there, Eric. I don't know what he did. But one of my coworkers walked up to me and said they thought he was jerking off in there. And I had to deal with that. And if that's not the funniest thing that has ever happened to me at work, I really don't know what is.
You know what I would have done? I would have been in there. I would have opened the door. Come in the toilet, not on the seat. And I would have let him battle his business.
And with that, this has been the Baldcasters. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Please follow Grayman Media and all of its greatness and Everyday People if you
want to.
I don't really mind. I just do that for fun. Yeah. Thanks.